patch of grass which we kept cut, we used to play games. Often used to play cricket and tennis and other games. And one day, I invited a school friend home to play. And we played cricket. Now, there were only two of us playing cricket, so it meant we had to take turns batting and bowling and fielding. And on the whole, the cricket went really well, except occasionally when the ball flew over the fence into the neighbour's garden and we had to go round and get it back. But I guess both of us were getting a bit tired, me and my friend, and it was my turn to bowl. But he wouldn't give me the ball. And so I chased round the garden after him. But I have to tell you a secret. In those days, I was very fat. And I was puffing behind him, and I couldn't catch him. And I got so angry. And in my hand, I had the cricket bat. And do you know what I did? I got the cricket bat and I threw it at him. Now, I only aimed at his legs. But the bat didn't miss him. It didn't hit his legs. It hit his head. And a parent's worst nightmare happened. And the blood poured out. And I was sent up to my room. And my friend was taken to hospital to have stitches in his head. And I was so unhappy. Next day, I went to school. And I was summoned. The headmaster wants to see you, David. And I stood there in the headmaster's study, trembling. And the headmaster said to me, "I've heard what happens. What are you going to do?" And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? What can I do? But he stayed waiting for an answer. So I thought, well, maybe I can give my friend a present to make up for what I've done. But the headmaster stood there. That wasn't the answer he wanted. And then I realized I should say sorry. And you know, each one of us hurt our friends. Maybe not with a cricket bat, but we hurt perhaps through the things we say, or the promises we break, or the times when we don't help them or defend them, or the times when we say to them, "I don't want to be your friend, I won't friend you anymore." And when we hurt our friends as kids, and as big people as well, we too hurt our friends, we need to say sorry. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the friends that you give us and for the friends that we have in Jesus. Help us to value our friends and help us to say sorry when we hurt them. So, Father, we just pray for the children now as they go to the classes. We pray for Laura and Phil and the 180 as they talk to us about what it means to be a good friend. Help us to hear you speaking to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so children, to your classes.
Good morning. So before we get into this week's topic of Do I Have Real Friends, we're first going to look back at last week's challenge, which was achieve a new screen balance. Ensure the number of hours in the week you spend doing something spiritually good is at least equal to the number of hours relaxing looking at screens. So, I'd like you to spend a couple minutes talking with the people around you, and I'd like you to feed back to each other on how well you did with this challenge. And then hopefully some of you will feed back to me in a bit after that as well. So to help you out, I've got a couple questions that you can think about. So if you would like to just have a look at those and speak to the people next to you, and yeah, we'll see what you come up with in a couple minutes' time. Okay, does anyone have any insights that they'd like to share from what they've learned from doing this challenge this week? Oh no, I will pick on people. This will happen. No, everyone's so quiet. Okay, Martin, you're my favorite. Look, this is gonna happen. Okay, so what did you learn? Did you learn anything from your new screen balance? What things did you do instead of looking at screens this week?
I think this week did quite well from not looking at screens to, I guess, the balance from going out. Whether it was spiritually good on some of those things, like we went like skittling, sort of socializing with friends. I think you appreciate it. It's like when you go away on holiday and you haven't got signal, so you can't access the internet. So you just put the phone down and actually you realize you don't miss it. And I think the more you get used to it, I think the easier it becomes. But I think it's been good just to reevaluate actually how much screen time I do use and watch the TV.
Yeah, no, cool. Thank you, Martin. Anyone else? Oh, Sheila, I need to come right to the back.
All I was going to say was, who knew the TV has got an off button?
That's very true. Anyone else? Any other insights? Were you guys actually talking about challenge? Okay, cool.
You're not going to like this. I forgot all about it. And so I went to the life group, and Sheila, was it? They reminded us. Then there wasn't any time after that because then we had visitors, so I must admit I forgot all about it.
That's great. I like a bit of honesty. Ness.
Sometimes it takes intention. You have to think about other things to do. And when you do, whether that's going for a run or whether it's meeting up with others or whether it's reading a book, you know, sometimes you have to make sure you think about it. You have to be aware that there is that choice there. Don't take the easy option.
No, definitely. Cool. Anyone else? Nick.
I think for me, it's kind of recognizing that a bit what we were talking about a couple weeks back with the kind of having that kind of slight ADHD thing where if you don't have your phone on you, you're constantly looking for it. Or do you remember what Ben was talking about a couple of weeks back with the kind of, for instance, yesterday I went to collect something at the post office and I was stood waiting with a couple other people and I was kind of just stood there and I didn't have my phone on me because I ran down. And then all of a sudden I was kind of stood there thinking, what shall I do with this time? Because I can't get my phone out, which I would normally do. So I just stood there and then I had a little think. And I actually thought, actually, it shows how much I depend on my phone to kind of entertain me.
Yep, no, definitely.
And it's quite a scary thing, so.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Well, yeah, I mean, it's great to have your feedback from the challenge last week. They are really hard. I personally didn't do that well because I was busy planning, looking at screens, planning what I was going to speak this morning. So hopefully you can... Well, yeah, it's when you end up on Facebook and then end up looking at not helpful stuff, but yeah. But yeah, it's great to hear that some of you were able to switch your time looking at screens for time with friends. And I think that's actually something that does naturally happen when we switch off from the online world. We look for entertainment from other sources. And especially good since it ties in with our topic this morning of, do I have real friends? Hopefully the answer to that question will be yes. So, at work during lunch times, I usually go to the canteen and sit with my friends and look like this. So we're all sat there together around a table, but we're not actually talking with each other. We're all there looking at our phones. Sometimes we're posting messages out on Facebook. Sometimes we're playing online games together while sat next to each other. Sometimes we're tagging each other in posts, even though we're sat right next to each other. And sometimes, if we actually run out of things to look at online, we might actually put our phones down and have a conversation with each other. But I'm not entirely sure that this picture is right, but it's one that I think we see more and more these days in restaurants or in the workplace or where people are sat with each other. And I think this is mainly because the way that we make and communicate with our friends has changed quite a lot over the last few years with the rise of mobile phones and the internet. Gone are the days where we mainly make friends by when we go out into the world and meet up with people, whether it's at work, school, groups that we're part of, or even church. You know, now we make friends or we have access to millions of people online who we can talk to anytime and anywhere. And we can do this by quite a few different ways. So we can post and like things on Facebook, we can follow and tweet people on Twitter, we can share photos and comment on Instagram, and we can message people on WhatsApp or just via text message as well. And there are many more as well out there, many more online social media platforms. But yeah, this is kind of quite an interesting thing in the modern day. And there was a study done by a guy called Robin Dunbar in 2016, and he did a study of 3,375 Facebook users, and he looked at their Facebook usage, and he found that on average, people tend to have 150 friends on Facebook. And the interesting stats that he got out of it was that you can only actually count on 4.1 of them in an emotional crisis, and actually only 13.6 of them will ever express sympathy towards you, which I think is actually really low. And having access to that many people online, I don't actually think, based on those stats anyway, mean that we actually have more real friends in our life. The other thing that his research showed, which I found quite interesting, was that the younger generation tend to have a wider social network online. But actually, the older generation, or the people who necessarily didn't grow up with social media as a thing, have more friends in real life, which I also think is quite an interesting thing.
We can see from these stats that actually there's fake news in the world. Joe spoke last week about fake rest. There is also fake friends. And fake friending doesn't necessarily just happen online. It can also happen in our real life, everyday lives with people that we meet. Maybe there's a person at school who's always really nice to your face but gossips about you behind your back. Maybe it's a work colleague who stops by your desk and brings you a cup of tea, but you know that they're undermining you in front of your boss. Maybe it's a next door neighbour that you thought you got on really well with, and then you find out it's them that's been knocking your bins over. All sorts of real life issues. So what are the signs that we have a real friend rather than a fake friend? Last week, we asked the children and young people to tell us what they thought a good friend was like, and this is some of the things that they came up with. And it doesn't take very long to unearth some of these verses from the Bible. They're trying to get themselves into numerical order. So I think we've got one down that end and eight at this end. It's also the PowerPoint works out.
A real friend does good for others and shares their resources generously. Proverbs 3, verse 27 and 28. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Don't tell your neighbour, maybe some other time, or try me tomorrow, when the money's right there in your pocket.
A real friend doesn't take advantage of others. Proverbs 3, verse 29 and 30. Don't figure ways of taking advantage of your neighbour when he's sitting there trusting and unsuspecting. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder, always spoiling for a fight. Don't try to be like those who shoulder their way through life. Why be a bully?
A real friend shows kindness and compassion to others. Proverbs 14:21. It's criminal to ignore a neighbour in need, but compassion for the poor, what a blessing.
A real friend does not rejoice in the misfortune of others. Proverbs 24:17. Don't laugh when your enemy falls. Don't crow when over his collapse.
A real friend is constant. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves you all the time, and a brother helps you in time of trouble.
A real friend helps, supports, and encourages, and can expect to be helped, supported, and encouraged in return. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10 says this: two people are better than one, because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls, because no one is there to help.
A real friend forgives. Colossians 3 verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive each other. If someone does wrong to you, forgive that person because the Lord forgave you.
A real friend lets you know who they really are. They share things about themselves that isn't common knowledge to everyone. John 15:15. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father.
Thank you very much. You can all take your seats. So social media platforms talk about friends, particularly on Facebook. But there may be times when there's actually a whole lot of unfriendliness happening. It seems that it's much easier to talk about people in an unkind and nasty way behind their backs or from behind a screen than it would be to say those things to their faces. We've just read that a real friend doesn't rejoice in the misfortune of others. But there seems to be so many pictures and videos on the internet highlighting people's failures, making fun of people when they don't do as well as they could have or should have. We don't stop and think when we're responding unkindly to those people, how would it be if my failures were on the internet for everybody to see and to comment on? I don't think I would like that at all. We don't stop and think about what it might be for that real life person, because we only see them as a small picture on a screen. Instead of making fun of people, we should be considering how we can help people, and when they fall, how can we help them to stand up again? Even the youngest children in the video that we saw understand that a friend who cheers you up when you're feeling sad is much better than a friend who kicks you while you're down. And Michael talked about friends being people that you can trust. And when you trust your friends, you start to share more of your life with them. You tell them things that not everybody else will know. But taking that trust takes time to get to. Jesus called his disciples friends because he spent time with them and got to know them and shared things with them that not everybody else knew. But I reckon if the disciples had had phones and had been sitting around together, still with Jesus, still going around with him for 3 years, but always on their phones, sending text messages to other people or playing on games, they would have missed so much of what Jesus had to teach them. They wouldn't have spent that quality time with him and wouldn't know things about him. So this week, the challenge for the guys in 180 was to get to know somebody who they didn't know very well before. They were going to spend some time with people. that they know but don't know very well. And so Bennett's going to come and tell us how that went. So Ben, tell us exactly about your challenge.
The challenge this week was to meet up with a friend you don't usually get to spend time with without any screens for an hour.
That sounds kind of tough without any screens. Did everybody in the group manage to meet up with somebody?
Yes, but Jade and Denisha didn't meet up with a friend, but more boys did it.
Yeah, really interesting. More of the boys did than the girls. So well done, boys. You're winning if you're getting points. So often when you get together with people, your phones are there as part of the conversation, but you weren't allowed screens. What did you do or where did you meet?
We met at my house and we made a movie using toy animals and people. And Isaac met up with Michael at Costa and Kyra met up at lunch in school.
Brilliant. So sometimes it's just like Ness was saying earlier, we need to be intentional. We need to have some ideas of what we can do with our time, not just when it's time by ourselves, but also time with our friends. And actually, there's so many things we can do together that don't involve screens, if we think about it. Was it hard to spend time with someone without having your phone there too?
A bit, because we needed the phone to record the movie. So it's quite hard to use it. But some people found it easy.
And last question, since you didn't normally hang out with those people, did you have fun and do you think you would do it again?
Yes, definitely, because it was really enjoyable to meet up with them and make our minds creative.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Ben. So your challenge this week is to do what 180 have done this week, last week. Make time to meet one or more people you wouldn't normally meet during the week and spend time with them with your phones switched off.
That does seem like quite a hard challenge. It'll be interesting to see how we do this week. So it's great to hear feedback from Ben and from the rest of the 180 group that actually they were able to meet up with their friends during the week and have fun with them as well, which is obviously a really important part of friendship. I think often, though, some people do find it quite hard to make friends or to have time to meet up with their friends during the week. And often people will turn to the internet to not feel lonely and to make new friends. But actually, often people feel more lonely when they go online. And that's mainly because the internet can't always offer what we really need from our friends. It's not enough to go on Facebook and passively browse someone's Facebook feed, looking at all their amazing posts about holidays they've been on, new gadgets they've got, although that might just be me. Instead, we need to actively engage with the content. We need to be liking it. We need to be sharing it. We need to be commenting on it. And that's like how we actually get engagement from them. One way that I often see this actually happening on Facebook is when people post out questions. So they'll post out a question to their Facebook friends that will be something like asking a question, and then their friends reply. So to see what kind of replies you might actually get from your friends, I thought I'd test this week. So I got my sister Helen to post out a post on her Instagram page, and what she posted was this. Okay, so, I need thoughts. I have a unicorn outfit, as you do, including a tutu for a carnival in Holland in a couple of weeks. And one of my 30 things to do before I'm 30 is to wear a unicorn outfit out in public, but in charred. Do I wear it to Tesco? So, what would your reply to that question be? Well, some of the replies that Helen actually got on her Instagram page were included, and it is actually a real post, so you can go and look at it if you really want to. But some of the ones that she got included this. So a few that I picked out was, yes, of course you can wear it to Tesco, and you will rock doing it. Wear it to Tesco, that would be so funny. And by the way, take photos. I'd say wearing it to Tesco would be the better option, but taking Phil and Auntie Allison with you will make it even more hilarious and worthwhile. I'm not entirely sure why I'm being brought into this in this situation, to be honest. And the last one that I picked out was just, I definitely think that Tesco needs more unicorns, but what if any of your colleagues, relatives, or patients saw you and recognized you as a very responsible nurse? Could that make things at work slightly more awkward? I think that one's probably the most sensible reply of all of them. Now, obviously, this is just a fun example, but I think it does actually highlight a real problem with social media, and that's that often people will only reply positive or things that aren't necessarily that helpful, and it's no better than actually just talking to a chatbot or someone who just tells you what they think you actually want to hear. So Proverbs 28:23 says, "Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor, rather than one who has a flattering tongue." And Proverbs 27:5-6 says, "Better is the open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." As these verses show, a really important part of friendship is when a friend tells you what they really think, which isn't necessarily always what you want to hear. Maybe this can happen over the internet. I would imagine that could possibly more happen over private messages or maybe over text. But for me personally, I think the only time that I'd get into a deep conversation with someone and have that openness of a friendship that Laura mentioned earlier is offline, actually face-to-face, and not online on social media. I also feel that as Christians, we have quite an important responsibility to act differently online and actually to allow people to see our faith through the kind of things that we post on social media. Now, one way that we might be able to do this could be to post comments and messages to people that will challenge them and will actually go against maybe what other people online would normally post. But I think there are a couple other ways as well, and I think the Bible helps to answer some of these questions. So, Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and gossip separates close friends." We need to make sure that we're not drawn into posting posts that we know are going to be hurtful to people or that will stir up conflict. It's very easy to do, to post something that you know someone else isn't going to like. And I also think that we need to make sure that we don't gossip online. Gossiping is really easy to do, and it's also really easy to do online. It can be in private messages where no one else will ever see them, but it's also possible to do it in the public space, to post a post where everyone knows who you're talking about, but you never actually name their names. And I think we need to be careful of doing that. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So in this verse, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's warning them about to be careful about who they listen to and who they spend time with. And I think we have to be careful about this online as well. It's quite easy to have friends online who may post content and tag you in stuff that might not necessarily be helpful and might not necessarily be the kind of things that we want to be associated with. And I guess there's always a danger when we're having those kind of things come up on our news feeds online that, you know, part of it sticks and that it can actually start to change what we think or, you know, rot away at our minds. So I think we need to be careful, and maybe, you know, it's a time to unfriend those people or even to have a friend purge entirely and get rid of anyone who you don't actually, you know, you haven't talked to for ages or that aren't actually real friends, because otherwise you're just being bombarded by all that content online, which may not actually be that helpful to you.
I know that we need to be wise in our choice of friends, both online and in our face-to-face friends. and we need to do the best that we can to be a good friend to other people too. But unfortunately, even our good friends, the ones who care for us and want the best for us and give us good advice, can sometimes let us down. And we can let them down too. Sometimes we will argue or disagree or fall out with somebody. Perhaps we will intentionally hurt people if they have hurt us or annoyed us in some way. Perhaps we might just act thoughtlessly and not mean to, but end up hurting them anyway. And that's when we need to remember that verse from Colossians that we read earlier about forgiving one another. But thankfully, there is one friend that we can always rely on. One of the qualities the children and young people look for in a friend is someone who's always there for you. And even though our friends may say they're always there, they can't actually be right next to you all of the time. But Jesus really is. This verse is not up there. Proverbs 18:24 says, "Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family." And Jesus is that true friend. And the best part is we don't even need a screen to connect with him. We don't have to send him a text message or wait till we've got enough data or wait till there's a good enough signal. We can talk to him any time, day or night, whether we're in the car, whether we're in a whole other country. We can talk to him and spend time with him and ask him for help. And he wants to be there for us. He wants us to come to him for all of those things. Now, from the beginning of time, Jesus was there. He created the world. He was connecting with people, but always from a distance. And that's what made his birth so extraordinary. Suddenly, the face of God was there for people to see, to meet with in real life. And this is how the message puts it. "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." Now, Jesus didn't just come to earth and then spend 30 years swanning around in a palace. He got out there in the dirt of real life. He met with people. He was struggling. He struggled himself. He went through hard things. He made friends with fishermen and rebels and tax collectors. He made face-to-face time and friends with those people. But his friendship wasn't just reserved for those people that he met while he was on earth in a physical body. He once told his disciples, "The greatest love a person can show is to die for his friends." But what Jesus did was actually even more amazing than that. He didn't only die for his friends, he died for his enemies. We were separated from him because of all the bad things that we had ever thought or said or done, what the Bible calls sin. But Jesus died for us while we were still separated from him so that we could be friends with him. But he didn't just intend us to be friends with only him. His command in John 15:12 says, "Love each other as I have loved you." He wants us to be the kind of friend to others that he is to us. So this week, as we spend time with our friend Jesus, let's ask him for help to be the best friends that we can possibly be to other people. And maybe that could start by spending some screen-free time getting to know somebody else.
We often read in the scriptures about Jesus being our friend. But even more so, we have this picture of Jesus being our shepherd. And a shepherd is a good friend. A shepherd is someone who can be trusted, who more than that, who cares and protects. And now we're going to sing as a response the song, "The Lord's My Shepherd," and the chorus, "And I Will."